And now on the program, we turn to our discussion with State Schools Superintendent Martel Menlove. Menlove joined us to discuss his work, the ideas behind state educational standards, and Utah's adoption of the Common Core State Standards Initiative. Superintendent Menlove, can you give us an overview of your position, of what your job here at the State Office of Education is?
Sure. I have a variety of things that I'm responsible for. By law, I am the chief officer of the State Board of Education, and so they select, I'm appointed by them, work directly with the 15-member State Board of Education, and represent them in what they do with public education. I don't vote, but I am appointed by them. There are over 1,000 schools in the state of Utah, 41 school districts, 85, maybe 90 next year charter schools. I have some relationship with those entities. We distribute all of the funding, state funding, to those entities and do some compliance with those entities. We also are available as a state office to provide services back to districts and charter schools. So I have the opportunity to meet basically on a monthly basis with all of the superintendents in the state, the 41 superintendents. We take things to them, we respond back to their concerns and try to have a dialogue and resolve issues there. I also have an opportunity to meet on a regular basis, not always monthly, but almost monthly, with all of the charter school directors in the state. And so again, an opportunity to express those things and resolve issues. One of my main responsibilities is working with the state legislature. And so my office works very closely with the legislature, not only during the legislative session. The 45 days during the session are a hectic time for this office because we're trying to respond to requests from legislators and to respond to legislation and specific bills. But recognize that when the session ends, I think this year there were 62 bills that came out of the legislature that dealt with public education. Some of those required that we come back and write new state board rules. Some of them require that we look at funding formulas and those type of things.
Does that happen during every legislative session?
It does, yeah. Yeah, that's about what's happened the last few legislative sessions. And so we are now just getting finalized on distribution of funding, writing RFPs, identifying products and services that were specified in legislation. Again, distributing money. Some of the funding formulas have changed somewhat. And again, trying to catch up with what's going on. Also recognize that although the session ends, interim meetings continue. And so every month there's an education interim committee meeting. There's also some interim committee meetings with the education funding subcommittee, and then this year there's also a new education task force.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
And so there are still many opportunities for us to interact. Right, honestly, I try to be a face for public education in Utah. 600,000 plus students. I'm anxious for school to start again so that I can get back into schools. I find being in schools rejuvenating for me and rewarding for me. And so one of my goals for the next year is spend more time in schools where I can actually see what's happening in classrooms and with students.
And you were an educator for many years before this, right?
I am, yeah. I began my career as a fifth grade teacher. I taught fifth grade and third grade in elementary school. I taught in a middle school. I've been an elementary and a high school principal, superintendent in a couple districts before coming to the State Office of Education. So
I wanted to ask you about something that's been a major issue in the education realm, which is the Common Core Standards. But before we go too far in depth into that, I was hoping we could talk a little bit about maybe the history and philosophy behind policies of educational standards as opposed to curriculum. If you look at standards across a country or across a region or across a state, I mean, the idea is to make certain that everybody's on the same level. Is that it? And is there a precedent there?
Utah has adopted core standards for many, many years. I don't know exactly how many years, but decades. We adopt standards in core areas. So we adopt math standards and English standards and social studies standards and science standards and PE standards. And that's not an exhaustive, the list goes beyond that.
Of course.
Anyway, So we've always adopted standards. The intent is that there's a statewide goal or a statewide standard that all students should be achieving. As we have been compared more recently with other systems around the state and around the world, we have recognized a need to make sure that our standards continue to be reflective of Utah. And I think it's important to note that those standards are reflective of our culture, they're reflective of our value system, and all those things are into the standards that we adopt. Some of those things are mandated to us specifically in legislation, but recognize that those standards are Utah standards. You talked about Common Core.
Yeah, what I was going to ask you exactly. So what is the Common Core? Where did it come from?
Common Core is an effort originally by the Council of Chief State School Officers. CCSSO is the name of the group. They, along with the National Governors Association, came to the conclusion that some type of common standards across states. When I say common, recognize that we're talking about common as different states have the state standards, not common as it reflects to the level of what they are. So there have been some people who have talked about common being a low level of standard. The term common there is common with other states. That there was some need to look at that. And so those two groups came together, engaged in some activities in which new standards were written for math and for English/language arts. And the state of Utah was engaged initially from that. That predates my time here at the state office. But we agreed to be part of that process, and then the state board has adopted those standards in math and English language arts. Now, recognize that they are now our standards. So we often talk about the Utah core standards.
Right.
But they are basically the Common Core standards. We have already modified the English language arts standards since they were adopted as Common Core. The Common Core standards did not have a standard for cursive writing.
And so these are things you've added to.
So we've added to the English language arts standard, cursive writing. We've had multiple discussions about math standards and whether we ought to change some of those. We have not done that yet. But again, there's an ongoing conversation about standards. We've also recently adopted some early childhood standards. And again, they are Utah standards. But this was a unique situation where a group of states got together and created a set of common standards, common among those states, in which a strong majority of states then adopted those as their standards.
Can you explain why some people are against the Common Core and maybe some of the ideas that are floating around about it?
I think the biggest thing that I hear about the Common Core standards is that there are a set of federal standards, and it is a movement for the federal government to inappropriately take over education, which we all believe is a state right and something that ought to be in the state. So I think part of what you see is a natural push among some people, and right honestly, supported by the State Board of Education and this office, a certain resistance to federal interference in what we're doing in Utah, inappropriate interference. And so I think that's the biggest thing that I see. Another myth that I think that we see is the cost of implementing the standards and what that cost is. We are developing a new computer adaptive assessment system. It's my opinion that computer adaptive assessment system would have happened whether we adopted the core standards or if we had adopted Massachusetts standards or whatever standards you want to come with. And there's some expense to that. Part of the expense to that is because we want to have our own assessment system. We are not part of one of the national organizations that doing some assessment. There's two groups. There's the Smarter Balanced and the PART group. We're not part of either of those. We're developing our own assessment. So it'll be our assessment with our items assessing our standards. So there's some expense with moving to that, but again, it's not necessarily with the Common Core, but it's simply with moving to a different assessment system. Mm-hmm. The other myth that I hear frequently that concerns me is this concept of data mining, and that Common Core now causes us to be collecting and reporting additional data. Well, there have been some things that have happened at the same time Common Core is being implemented. There's some changes in the FERPA and the Federal Education Rights and Family Education Rights and Privacy Act and some other things. But what I can tell you is Common Core does not require us to report any more data. We're not collecting any different data. We're not collecting any more data than what was required for us to collect and report under No Child Left Behind. What we're doing is now, and will be doing, using a different test to determine whether students are proficient or not proficient, but we're still reporting proficiency levels, proficiency scores, as we've always reported.
You know, I've heard that one of the fears of some educators is that their performance evaluations will be tied to the performance of children on new tests, gauging those standards.
And there is some truth to that. State legislation requires us to, and we're in the process of developing, a teacher evaluation system that does incorporate student proficiency into evaluating teachers. Currently, it's not, for teachers at least, tied into salaries. But we are developing a statewide, it's not a statewide system, but there's at least some statewide guidelines and a statewide structure that will require districts to evaluate teachers. And part of that evaluation will take in consideration students' testing and how students are doing.
Last week, the Wall Street Journal reported that national test scores are expected to decline. And this is on the heels of test scores coming out of New York and Kentucky, which had adopted Common Core standards, and they'd seen drops in their proficiency in math and reading on state exams. I'm wondering if we should expect to see drops in test scores here in Utah and what that means for students.
The quick answer is yes. We believe that the standards we've adopted from Common Core in math and in English language arts are more rigorous than the previous standards. As such, if we assess accurately, what we'll find is students being assessed against a set of more rigorous standards won't perform as well as they performed historically. Now, it doesn't mean the students are any brighter or not bright. It simply means that we're now against a different standard. Instead of asking them to jump over a high jump bar that's 5 feet, now we're asking them to jump over a bar that's 5'4" or 5'6". And there's going to be fewer students who are going to be able to do that. It doesn't mean the students have changed. It simply means that we're looking at it a little differently. Now, we believe that as we implement this and as we become more effective in our instruction, that over time, those proficiency levels will not only catch up with where we currently are, but they'll exceed those levels. And so we continue with the goals. The State Board of Education has adopted the goals that 90% of students are reading on grade level, 90% of students are doing mathematics on grade level, and those goals will continue to be the same. Will we have some steeper trajectories to get there? Probably. Will we see some drops, as you've seen in New York and other places? Most likely. Now, you ask if we have some control over that. Well, actually, we do have some control over that. The State Board of Education sets what those cut marks, what those cut scores are. So we could artificially inflate those scores or deflate those scores. But our intention is to simply say, here are students, here's where they accurately are. But again, we're assessing against a set of different standards. And so, the first year, maybe the first year or two, there are likely to be some drops. But again, we believe that over time we'll not only exceed where we currently are, but hopefully even exceed that 90% goal that the State Board of Education and Prosperity 2020 and the Governor's Office has set.
Well, and I guess that's part of the point is you raise the standards so as to raise performance in the long run.
And that's the intent. And again, to try to help parents, students, and teachers understand exactly where students are against this set of standards so that we can now provide the interventions, the instruction, what we need to have students progress. I mean, the intent is to have students proficient, to have students college and career ready as one of the new terms. And so that's what we're intending to do.
Going back to a previous question I asked about the performance of teachers being based on the standards of students, if we're going to expect to see drops in the first, you know, however long, is that going to be weighted for the teachers?
Yeah, it'll have to be weighted. We'll have to do some adjustments there and look at some things. Most of what we're looking at is whether students are making some progress. And again, it's going to be difficult, particularly in that transition year, to look at. But after that transition year, then we can look individually at teachers and growth within particular classrooms and growth within particular students.
You know, I'm also wondering how Common Core treats English language learners, ELL, and or special education learners, students who might be the hardest hit with tougher standards.
You know, it's a concern that we have, because we recognize right now that there are certain populations within our total students that do better on our assessments than other students do. Again, we want to accurately assess that, but I think we're prepared. And again, the State Board of Education, at least, has tried to look at additional funding, additional resources, additional help for those schools where you see larger percentages of students like you're talking about with the ELL students and low-income students. And what we're seeing, right, honestly, is some great success in some of those schools, but it does take a concerted effort, and it does take some resources to accomplish that.
Finally, and this might have to be another conversation on another and later date, raising the standards is really only one part of the issue. How is Utah attracting excellent teachers, and what are your thoughts on teacher education in general?
Oh, that is another subject and something we may have to go into at some point in time. Teachers are attracted into education for a number of reasons. It's my opinion that one of those reasons, maybe not that people are attracted into education, but one of the reasons that they may not be attracted into education is the financial incentives that are there. So I think there are a couple of things that need to happen. I would like to see at least particularly beginning salaries in Utah raised, so that we can then not have people who are making decisions not to be in education based upon,
just the sheer numbers,
type of thing. So we work closely with teacher prep programs in Utah, recognizing that there are additional prep programs in private schools and other private and not-for-profit universities now in Utah. So there's a larger group that we're working with. Most of those groups are willing to work with us. But, yeah, we're currently looking at some things. In fact, most recently, the State Board of Education is considering some rules even on minimum qualifications for people to enter into college, into teaching preparation programs at the university level. So I think it continues to be an issue, and there's some things we need to work on to do that. And again, there are reasons why people go into education other than the financial reasons. But again, the thing that concerns me is, those who are choosing not to go into education, even though they would like to be teachers, simply based on the fact that they may not be able to support a family and do some other things they'd like to do.
Superintendent Menlove, I want to thank you for taking the time to speak with us today.
Hey, my pleasure.
I'm Roger McDonough. This is The Rundown. Stay with us.